Knight and Bishop stood and walked to the hatch. Both had slept for the majority of the 6-hour flight from Fort Bragg to Vietnam, and had spent most of the time since then in silence, Bishop in meditation, Knight in study. The pilot's voice filled the cabin.
2 minutes, prep for jump.
Copy that, Knight said, closing his binder and standing up. With their pre-breathing complete and the LZ approaching, Knight and Bishop got down to the business of pre-jump preparation, which for the chess team meant a quick refortification of their close bond. Bishop, standing nearly a foot taller than Knight, looked down at him.
How's Grandma Dejong doing? Could use some of that hoodoo juice for Manifold. Well, not the stuff you got. Grandma Regen would not be a pretty picture.
That bad, huh?
Let's just say I don't think King's mom's funeral will be the last one I go to this year.
We go to.
Knight smiled.
Thanks.
You ready to bag and tag some aboriginals?
Knight's smile widened as he laughed.
Bag and tag some aboriginals? You've been spending too much time around Rook.
Bishop took the crystal hanging around his neck, gave it a kiss, and tucked it beneath his black jumpsuit.
Just finding my sense of humor again.
The light above them switched from red to green.
A moment later, the back hatch opened.
Both men closed their helmets over their heads, which allowed them to use their night vision as they descended at terminal velocity. Knight gave Bishop a thumbs up, Bishop nodded, and the pair leaped, one after the other, into the whipping frigid winds above Uluru. The crescent, invisible in the night sky, banked away and disappeared. Knight focused on the ground below. Their targets had been watched via satellite throughout the day. A group of 20 people, 5 of whom were on the list the team had received, had spent the night around a bonfire, reenacting the rituals, dancing, and storytelling of their ancestors. The fire, being the only source of light for 300 miles, was easy to spot, and the Delta duo aimed their bodies, now living missiles, toward the fiery target. The group of aboriginals was tucked inside a deep valley, which meant they would have to land on the nearby desert and hike in. The trek would only add a few minutes to their travel time, but with helicopters already inbound and due to arrive in 20 minutes, there was no time to delay. As they closed in, Knight's keen eye saw an aberration far above the target area.
What the?
He'd seen something move. He squinted, searching for movement, but found nothing.
What is it?
Bishop asked, his voice coming in clear through Knight's earphone.
I don't know, I...
Movement streaked across Knight's vision again, and he saw it for what it was.
Never mind. Condensation on my visor. Knight, Bishop, you read?
Deep Blue's voice filled their ears.
Loud and clear,
Bishop replied.
Listen, there's some seismic activity in the area some of the analysts are concerned about. Shouldn't be a big deal, but the Sandstone Valley is crisscrossed by tiny fissures created by thousands of years of rain runoff. Got it,
Knight said.
Watch for falling rocks.
Exactly.
Thanks for the heads up, Blue, but it's time to pull.
Bishop and Knight's parachutes deployed like gunshots, ripping open 1,000 feet from the desert floor. Seconds later, they were rolling on the ground, gathering their chutes and running toward the faint glow of the nearby valley, where large shadows danced in the firelight. Sometimes after completing a halo jump, rookies stumbled on shaky legs or fell to their knees, wobbly from adrenaline. But Bishop and Knight had long ago overcome the post-jump shakes, so when both men suddenly found themselves off balance, they knew something was wrong. They paused.
That was a little more than a tremor, Bishop said.
Knight placed his bare hand on the ground. The sand was shaking, as though to the steady rhythm of a bass-laden hip-hop song. Either that or something. Knight's head shot up as a distant squeal rolled over the desert.
Was that a car?
Bishop shook his head, cautiously moving toward the valley ahead.
I don't think so. It sounded more like a...
The scream came again, this time shrill and very human. Both men slid their weapons from their backs and ran as fast as they could to the cacophony of terrified cries pouring from the valley, praying someone would still be breathing when they arrived.